Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/Course Mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for The Best Hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. So glad to be back with you this morning. As we continue a deeper journey into A Course in Miracles, we're studying the textbook. Currently, we are in Chapter 11, and we have laid already a solid foundation of understanding of our teaching. And this is the week of Easter. Sunday was Palm Sunday, and we are now in this space of really a conscious awareness of our brother Christ Jesus and how he had influenced the mind of the child of God worldwide. And so this is particularly a meaningful week for me personally because I'm traveling this week, but we are my sweet love Claudia, Reverend Claudia Tambor was the speaker at the Center for Conscious Living in Waterville, Ohio this past weekend, and I'm going to be the guest speaker there at the same location this Easter Sunday. We're also having a gathering at Angel's Landing in Toledo on the North Reynolds Road. That's on the northwest side of Toledo there, but we are really excited about meeting with those friends of ours, Mighty Companions there, and having a gathering. We had a gathering on Sunday afternoon after the service at CCO. So we've been really involved in spirit. We've been in this beautiful environment of love and acceptance and celebration this whole week. So it's been really a beautiful and wonderful week for me as well. So I want to say thank you to everyone who's listening in on the Internet, and we love you, and we're glad you're there, as well as those who are listening on our archived episodes of The Best Hour. This is our simple, humble attempt to better understand A Course in Miracles through conversation. We have a guide, a capital G guide, a capital T teacher, a capital C comforter that was placed in our mind when we began to dream a tiny mad idea that we could be separate from God and that we could define what God is being and that we could actually ultimately make up a dream, make up an idea of what would it be like? What would the world be like if we were playing God? And I kind of did the best I could to give an example of that in our discussion with our gathering on Sunday afternoon with a group of companions there who were there to learn more about the course. And we, you know, I gave the example of, you know, a couple little kids going out back and you know, trying to spend the night in a tent, you know, just as a quick example, and that they're really trying to play like adults. You know, what would it be like to play like adults? You know, like we're self-supportive and, you know, we spend the night on our own and there's no other people around. Our parents or our mom and dad are not around and, you know, we're totally reliable upon ourselves. You know, what would that be like? Well, that's kind of, that's a pretty good example because maybe you had that experience as a child. I did. And, you know, what we began to feel is a little bit of fear once it started getting dark and we started wondering whether or not our parents were thinking of us, you know, and what were they thinking about us, you know, were they judging us and so forth. So that's kind of the genesis for this dream that we've created, and the power of the mind of Christ is unimaginable. But when we return to this this guide, when we return to this part of our mind, which is nothing more than our right mind, and we return to this mind and ask the simple question, you know, what is salvation? What is, you know, the truth, Father? And we join again in mind with our Father. Then we began to learn the truth of what we are. We're no longer out here trying to figure it out on our own. We're no longer out here in orphan land, you know, and trying to create some self-image and defining that self-image by what other people agree or disagree with our presentation. And have you noticed that we do that? That we define ourselves, what we are, you know, with ego thinking, you know, as an orphan, as a separated individual, you know, self-sustaining self. Then we present our idea of what we are to the world, that is, all the people that we come in contact with, and then we value ourselves based on their interpretation of what we are. You know, how well are we presenting ourselves? Are we of someone of value? Are we of someone that is doing something meaningful in the world, or are we wasting, you know, our life, or are we really taking good use of our life? You know, are we growing? Are we improving ourselves? You know, these are the things that ego mind would have us focus on 24/7, nonstop, thousands and thousands and thousands of thoughts throughout the day about really nothing but ourselves. Pretty much, and or what the world is thinking of us, or what we've done in the past, judging ourselves and judging the world and judging our brothers and sisters and hoping they're not judging us, and around and around and around we go. Here we are in orphan land, making ourselves up. And so we have separated ourselves truly from our own creations. That's right, our own creations. We have created with God. We were God's first and only creation, and everything else in creation came as a result of our creation, as we continue to create, co-create, if you will, with our Father. God is being all that you were being, and you are being the infinite expression of God right where you are, right this now. Even if you don't believe it, that doesn't change it. That is still what God has created you to be. This infinite expression of godness, of God mind, which is love. It is mind. It is spirit. So we are reading right now in chapter 11, and it's called God or the Ego, because we began to recognize as we study this work that our brother Christ Jesus has again given us a way to point towards the keys to the kingdom so that we can escape our mind, our false perceptions, literally, and return home to our right mind and rejoin with our Father that is in mind, and remember who we are and remember what salvation is. Salvation, even though we believe we know what it is, or maybe we don't believe we know what it is, I'm here to tell you this morning that our teacher tells us you cannot discover salvation on your own. You cannot. Because the ego mind, the intellect, is a poor servant in discovering the world of spirit, because the world of spirit is beyond the three-dimensional world. The third-dimensional world, as we know it, is a construct of ego mind. And so it can't think outside the box, so to speak. It cannot get outside of its own constructs of what it is. So we absolutely must have a guide in that. Okay, but the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than our right mind, knows exactly what salvation is. And salvation is, if you'll turn to that voice, that comforter, that guide, that teacher, if you'll turn to that voice and begin to re-identify with your true self, as Buddha said, your capital S self, that is the only mind that you can turn to discover what salvation is. And what is salvation? Salvation is the relinquishment of guilt, the complete and holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, relinquishment of the idea of guilt. And I know we believe that we can transcend guilt, and that we can, you know, the ego is like, oh, I'm not guilty about anything. I go out and I help people, and I love on people, and I do this, and I do that. And you know, the world's whole idea of mutually agreed upon definition is all based on the construct of guilt. So don't be too quick to allow your ego to fool you yet again to believe that you have transcended guilt, the idea of guilt, and that you're not out here trying to scoop on any guilt on anybody, you're not judging anybody, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. It takes the Holy Spirit. It absolutely is a requirement because we cannot let go of the idea of guilt. It's so ingrained in our unconscious programming that we don't even know that it's happening when we're doing it. Yes, we are addicted to it, literally. The attraction of guilt is unimaginable. And we use it to control not only ourselves and our world, but what the world thinks of us. We use guilt literally to get other people to think of us in a higher perspective, literally. We use guilt to control the world and run the world, and it's something that we are absolutely addicted to, if not certainly attracted to. So I want to, again, invite you to turn within at every opportunity today, and every day, and listen to the voice that knows the truth. And it's not separate from you. It's not some other something out there away from you, nor is heaven or anything like that. So the conversation that we're going to be talking about then is fatherhood and the gifts of fatherhood. And yesterday we read through the first five paragraphs in chapter 11, the gifts of fatherhood. So I want to pick up where we left off with paragraph six of section one in chapter 11. God has given you a place in his mind that is yours forever. Yet you can keep it only by giving it as it was given you. We've learned already now, have we not, that only giving, right, we can only keep what we give. And that flies in the face, that's upside-down logic, if you will, based on the ego's logic, because the ego's always trading. And we're going to talk about that in our workbook lesson today, because it's part and parcel to the whole idea of gifting, of giving, and that the gift that we were given is life. And this is the extension of life, of God herself, sending herself through the gift of life in you. So God has given you a place in his mind that is yours forever, yet you can keep it only by giving it as it was given you. Could you be alone there, that is, in the mind of God, when it was given you because God did not will to be alone? Could you? Right? Could you be alone in the mind of God when it was given you because God did not will to be alone? God's mind cannot be lessened. There's no empty space in the mind of God for you to be. Have you thought about that? Our conversation yesterday was really fantastic, and I pushed that out on Facebook. You can find us on facebook.com/coursemastery. I would really appreciate it if you'd go there and like our page. I just go there and basically write a little bit about our broadcast, a real quick thought or two, and not every day. I don't post every day. I'm not going to flood your feed with constant, you know, impressions of postings and so forth. But I do put a link there so that people can find the broadcast, and maybe they'll share it with other folks. And this is just a simple attempt for us to share and unite together as mighty companions to share what we're learning here. If you're finding it of value, you know, maybe someone else in your circle of influence or someone else that you love and care about would find some value in what we're talking and discussing here as well. So I would personally be honored that you might do that. But our conversation, I thought yesterday, was really, really educational, certainly to me. And so the Holy Spirit is coming through us as we join together here as mighty companions, I have absolutely no doubt in that, that we are joined in mind and joined in that mind that is the Holy Spirit as it comes through in our discussion. So I hope you'll share it. God's mind cannot be lessened. It can only be increased. For everything he creates has the function of creating. His love does not limit. And what it creates is not limited. You are not limited in any way, could not possibly be limited in any way, because everything that God creates is unlimited. I'm adding, so to continue, to give without limit is God's will for you. To give without limit is God's will for you. Because only this can bring you the joy that is his, God's, and what he wills to share with you. Your love is as boundless as his, because it is his. Your love is God. As we talk about this Course in Miracles, one of the things we bring up often is, the purpose of the Course in Miracles is to remove the obstacles to the awareness of love. And that love is something that cannot be taught. It doesn't need to be taught. It only needs to be recognized for what it is because, again, he says here, it is you. Okay, because it is his. Your love is as boundless as his because it is his. Continuing, could any part of God be without his love? And could any part of his love be contained? God is your heritage because his one gift is himself. How can you give except like him if you would know his gift to you? How could you give except like him, God, if you know his gift to you? His love is his gift to you. And you are this life of love, and God is your heritage because his one gift is himself. Give. Give then without limit and without end. Give what? Give love. As we discussed in one of our earlier chapters, full appreciation. Full, these words are powerful. Full appreciation of your brothers and sisters. Without limit and without end. Why would we want to do that? So that, because we keep what we give. And through your extension of love to all of the sonship, all of the brothership, all the, everywhere, what? Without, there's no spot in there for guilt, my friend. There's nothing in there to judge someone's worth. I'll give them love based on their worth. That's an extension of guilt. It's not an extension of guilt. It's a projection of guilt. Because love is extended and guilt is projected. So I want to remind myself to use the right wording here because to be consistent with our teacher's words in this book. But anytime we judge anybody, whether or not they're worthy of our love, okay, if we do that, we're in ego mind. We are not listening to our right mind. We're not listening to the voice for God. We're not listening to the teacher, our guide. Because that voice would let us know in an instant if we would simply turn to it and would let us know in an instant of the unimaginable innocence of our brothers and sisters. And I say unimaginable because the ego mind, if we're always thinking in this ego mind, it's the intellect of the ego mind is a poor servant. It can only imagine. And it can only perceive. It of itself cannot know. It cannot know truth. It's always wrong. It's beyond its capacity. Which, to give you the best example I can, and I know Claudia always smiles when I use this example, but because I think somewhere she actually believes that maybe we could teach our cat to drive our car, but I'm pretty convinced that we can't. You know why? Because it's beyond the capacity of that mind to comprehend the intricacies of all of the things that must be known in order for that vehicle to go down the road safely, let's say. It takes the mind of the human body, if we will, the brain within the human body and its capacity to perceive and direct motor skills, etc. This mind of this animal, however, our beloved cat, knows when it's loved. It is able to perceive when it is loved, and it's able to be perceive when it's honored. It's able to also extend that love back to us. But to drive the car is beyond its capacity. For the ego mind to know the joy of innocence, to make an evaluation without guilt, is outside its capacity. So we must switch gears. We must switch mind. We've talked about, you know, first gear, or, you know, what we know, and using a car analogy again, you know, that we know that we're going in first gear. There's a forward gear, if you will, and there's a reverse, and that there's a neutral. Well, there's no neutral. You know, there's no neutral. We're either in reverse or we're in first gear, you know, or going forward. We're either moving away from truth or we're moving toward truth. We're engaging the teacher, the comforter, the guide, which is the Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind, which is also the gift that God has given us. As we begin to dream a tiny dream, a mad, crazy idea, that we could play God, make ourselves up. So your ability to accept God, then, to accept Him, depends on your willingness to give as He gives. Your fatherhood and your Father are one. God wills to create, and your will is His. You have imagined yourself a separate will, but there is only one will, and that's the will of God, which, being a part of God, is your will. It follows then, I'm continuing, God wills to create and your will is His. It follows then that you will to create, since your will follows from His. And being an extension of His will, yours must be the same. Yet, what you will, you do not know. Now, this is not strange when you realize that to deny is to not know. In other words, you have denied your own will because we are in denial of God, of the authorship, if you will, of what God is, which is being all that we are being, I'm adding. Continuing, God's will is that you are His son, His child, His daughter. By denying this, you deny your own will, and therefore do not know what it is. And I'd like to add, you're denying your own self, capital S self, true self. You're denying yourself in that. You must ask what God's will is in everything because it is yours. Let's think about that now. You must ask what God's will is in everything because it is yours. Everything is yours, or everything is God's will. What are we talking about? What we're saying is God's will is your will. And since God's will is your will, and you do not know your will because you're denying it, when we practice this practice that we love to talk about so much here on the radio show, which is to be present, to step out of ego thinking, which is the mind of nothing more of the mind than, I should say, I want to add the mind of judgment. When we step out of that reference of ourself, that we've created it all up, we've made it all up, and we return to our innocence, curiosity of our childness, our perfectness, and we relinquish and surrender, literally, that we allow and surrender our thinking and turn within to the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, and ask, Father, what is the truth of this, whatever it is. And what did he, what's he saying here? The word is everything. The word is everything. By denying your own will, and therefore, you do not know what it is. You must ask what God's will is in everything, because it is yours. God's will is yours, so you must ask what that will is in everything. So every situation, every decision that we need to make, we really must, he's saying, you must ask what God's will is in everything. Who do we ask? What do? We turn within. This is where we practice vigilance. This is where we practice curiosity. This is where we practice recognition that we do not know. Of myself, I can do nothing. You do not know what it is that is the God's will, but you do not know what it is, but the Holy Spirit continuing, the Holy Spirit remembers it for you. So ask Him. Ask Him, therefore, what God's will is for you, and He will tell you yours. He will tell you your will, because your will and God's will are one. It cannot be too often repeated. Here we go again. It cannot be too often repeated that you do not know it. You don't know. The very first sentence in this paragraph, A, says, yet what you will, you do not know. And now he's saying it cannot be too often repeated that you do not know it. That is your will. Whenever what the Holy Spirit tells you appears to be coercive, it is only because you have not recognized your will. I want to interject an example. We're looking at one of our brothers or sisters. We're examining them from the past. Maybe we're seeing them as a body. We're defining them as, how they have presented themselves to our body's eyes and our body's ears, right? And we are perceiving them in a certain way. You know, and all that the ego mind can do is judge. We know that. We're beginning to recognize that, right? So whenever what the Holy Spirit tells us appears to be coercive, it's because you have not recognized your will. In other words, we've made up some idea of what this other one is out of whole cloth. And so now here's the Holy Spirit. We turn within, we become present, we turn to the Holy Spirit and say, Father, what's the truth here? In everything, remember, Father, what's the truth here with this one? And the voice comes back and says, this is Christ. This is Christ. And you're like, your mind's going like, no, this is so-and-so, and so-and-so's, hard to deal with, and so-and-so's, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you have to let all that go. This is us believing in that voice, which is guiding us towards the ability to relinquish guilt once and for all. And that's what this is about. This journey without distance, the goal that has never changed, is the ultimate complete relinquishment of guilt. That's it. I mean, it's not... And you're going to hear, as we continue to study this year through this textbook, this resonating again and again and again. But as he says, it cannot be too often repeated that you don't know your will because you've made up this other idea of judgment. Let's continue. The projection of the ego makes it appear as if God's will is outside yourself and therefore not yours. In this interpretation, it seems possible for God's will and yours to conflict. God, then, may seem to demand of you what you do not want to give and thus deprive you of what you want. Would God, who wants only your will, be capable of this? Your will is his life, which he has given to you. Even in time, you cannot live apart from him. Sleep is not death. What he created can sleep, but cannot die. And when I read this, I'm thinking, I want to interject here, that sleep is dreaming. And we can have a daydream. In the middle of the day, we could be sitting in a class or doing whatever. We could be at work on the assembly line, and our mind can drift off to other places, and we can be in mind, we can be in those places having those conversations, doing those things, even while we're just physically still working, our mind is amazing. I mean, it really is a mystery, see, because it is the mind of God. How could the ego ever, in its futile attempt, ever be able to think that it could put a label on the mind of God? But we try to do it all the time. We try to make up God in our own definitions and descriptions. So what we're saying here is that the mind that God has created you, right, can dream. What he created can sleep, but cannot die. So immortality is his will for his son, his children, and his daughters, his sons and daughters, and his son's will for himself. Immortality is your will, your very will for yourself. It's your immortal. God's son cannot will death for himself because his father is life, and his son is like him. Creation is your will because it is his life. Creation being the extension of life, the extension of love. And as we're learning, the extension of joy and happiness and peace. It all is tied together perfectly in a thought system that it's unimaginable to ego mind. Continuing, you cannot be happy unless you do what you will truly. And you cannot change this because it is immutable. It is immutable by God's will and yours. For otherwise, his will would not be extended. You are afraid to know God's will because you believe it is not yours. This belief is your whole sickness and your whole fear. Every symptom of sickness and fear arises here. This is very powerful, right? Every symptom. Notice sickness, he's not saying is real. Fear, he's not saying it's real. And I shared this with one of my friends, and just a conversation just came through on discussion on Sunday. And I said, you cannot, and I shared this phrase with him, and I said, you cannot do what God has not created. You cannot fear in reality. You cannot die in reality. You cannot be sick in reality. But you can have symptoms of an imagined idea of what that is or what that would be like, right? In a dream, right? As we've said, God, what God has created, I want to be sure I'm in the right place here. What God has created can sleep. Belief is your whole sickness, this idea, right? That God's will is separate from yours, and your whole fear. Every symptom of sickness and fear arises right here, because this is the belief that makes you want not to know the truth, not to know your will, the truth of what you are. Believing this, you hide in darkness, denying that the light is in you. So you're asked to trust the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, only because he speaks for you. He is the voice for God. But never forget that God did not will to be alone. He shares his will with you. He does not thrust it upon you. In other words, you are free eternally. Once you break free from the prison that within which you've placed around yourself, remember, this course is about removing the obstacles to the awareness of love. Love is freedom, the perfect, eternal extension of love forever and ever. Freedom to extend what you are infinitely, beyond the capacity of the ego intellect to even imagine. So believing this, right, that we do not want to know the will of God, Believing this, we hide in darkness, denying that the light is within us. So we are asked now by our teacher to trust the Holy Spirit, only because he speaks for you. He is the voice for God. But never forget that God did not will to be alone. He shares his will with you. He does not thrust it upon you. Always remember that what he gives, he keeps, so that nothing he, God, gives can contradict himself or him. You who share his life must share it to know it, for sharing is knowing. Blessed are you who learn that to hear the will of your Father is to know your own will. Blessed are you to learn this, to hear that the will of your Father is to know your own will, for it is your will to be like him whose will it is that it be so. God's will is that his Son be one and united with him in his oneness. That is why healing is the beginning of the recognition that your will is his. Healing, and I want to read this. It's almost like every sentence is something that we could almost, you know, meditate on and gather more and deeper insight in from. That's why healing is the beginning of the recognition that your will is God's. So that's the end of the first section in chapter 11. So since healing is the beginning of the recognition that your will is God's, we lead forward tomorrow as we discuss the invitation to healing and how we're working with our brother Christ Jesus in this reading, and how we're working with our the Holy Spirit, which there's only one mind, we've mentioned many times, and we'll continue to, the oneness of the mind of Christ, which is you. You are an aspect of that mind. And as we continue to study and read and learn together as mighty companions, we are in one mind. And that vibration and that knowing that is that mind of our guide, our teacher, our comforter, our true self, the voice for God, is available to us. So let the healing begin as we recognize that our Father's will and our will are one. It is our self. Truly, true self, capital S self, that we are beginning to recognize as we remember our Father's will, as we remember ourself. It's so simple, and the ego wants us to believe that this is so complicated. Like I said, it's ability to really drive the bus, so to speak. Using the cat analogy, the ego's intellect is a poor servant. That's why we must turn to the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you want to awaken from the prison, you know, that we built around ourselves. Today we're going to go to a lesson 105, today being April 15th, day 105. God's peace and joy are mine. And see if you notice within this workbook lesson today and in this lesson and teaching today, as we discuss the gift of God and see if this is coming, I believe you'll see how this ties in. When I read it earlier today and was in practice and meditation, I really believe that this is ties in so beautifully together. God's peace and joy are mine. God's peace and joy are yours today. Because today we will accept them, knowing that they belong to us. And we will try to understand these gifts increase as we receive them. So if God's will, I want to interject, is your will, and God's gift, right, peace and joy, God's will then for himself must be what? Peace and joy. And since what God wills is done, then all we need to do is to tap into God's will to have peace and joy. So today we will accept them knowing that they belong to us. And we will try to understand these gifts increase as we receive them. Now, these are not like to the gifts the world can give, in which the giver loses as he gives the gift. The taker is the richer by the giver's loss, by his loss. Such are not gifts, but bargains made with, and here's this word again, guilt. Bargains made with guilt. The truly given gift entails no loss. It is impossible that one can gain because another loses. This implies a limit and an insufficiency, which obviously could not happen in the mind of God, being infinite in all that is, right? So, no gift, continuing, no gift is given thus. Such, quote-unquote, gifts are but a bid for a more valuable return, a loan with interest to be paid in full, a temporary lending, meant to be a pledge of debt to be repaid with more than was received by him who took the gift. And this is the description of the ego mind giving, if you will. Continuing, this strange distortion of what giving means pervades all levels of the world you see. It strips all meaning from the gifts that you give and leaves you nothing in the ones that you take. And why would we, can we see that? Why would that mean that it leaves us nothing in a gift that we take from somebody? Because ultimately the ego only gives to give to get a return with interest. When something is given from an ego mind perspective, okay, when we're in ego mind, remember there's no neutral, so we're either giving through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is giving of love, or we're giving something, maybe even in the material world, you know, through ego thinking, and it's a trade. We're giving to get. It's a trade. That's not a gift. Continuing, a major learning goal this course has set is to reverse your view of giving so you can receive. As I've said earlier already today, in an earlier reading, we've learned the truth that we only keep what we give. Forgiving has become a source of fear, and so you would avoid the only means by which you can receive. Why has it become a source of fear? Because the ego has trained us, literally hypnotized us into believing that if we give something to somebody, we lose it. Accept God's plan, God's peace and joy, and you will learn a different way of looking at a gift. God's gifts will never lessen when they are given away. They but increase thereby. They only increase when they're given away. As heaven's peace and joy intensify when you accept them as God's gift to you, so does the joy of your Creator grow when you accept His joy and peace as yours. True giving is creation. It extends the limitless to the unlimited. Eternity is to timelessness, and love unto itself. True giving is creation. It adds to all that is complete already. Not in simple terms of adding more, for that implies that it was less before. It adds by letting what cannot contain itself fulfill its aim of giving everything it has away, securing it forever for itself. This is the description of the gift of God. This is the description of the gift of love that is the Holy Spirit. This is the description of the gift of our brother Christ Jesus. In his gift of understanding, his gift of helping us to see the way home, that is the way out of the illusion that we've constructed, the prison that we've literally manufactured around ourselves. Today, accept God's peace and joy as yours. Let him, God, complete himself as he defines completion. You will understand that what completes him must complete his son, his daughter, his child as well. He cannot give through loss. No more can you. Receive his gift of joy and peace today, and he will thank you for your gift to him. In God's law, when you receive his gift of love, he keeps it. When you give the gift of love, and we had a discussion about that on Sunday in our little gathering, and I shared, you know, the feeble attempt that I could make that, you know, what is real love? love that's given defenselessly with no expectation of return, with no condition. Defenselessly, with no expectation of return, defenselessly. And that is how it's kept. Because we love our brother and sister, our child, our mom, our dad, whatever the case may be. We love them not because we think that we need to get something back because we're giving love. We love them just because it brings us great joy to experience the very feeling of love as it pours forth through us. Today our practice periods will start a little differently. Begin today by thinking of those brothers and sisters who've been denied by you the peace and joy that are their right under the equal laws of God. Here, you denied them to yourself. That's all. You've denied their to yourself. You think you're denying them love. You value them one way or another with ego thinking. You evaluate their worthiness of your judgment, that is your time of yourself, your love, or whatever it is the ego is willing to trade for, and you don't really see who's there. You're denying yourself of them and the love that they have for you. The only one you're denying is yourself. And here you must return to claim them, your brothers and sisters, and their love as your own. So think of your quote-unquote enemies a little while and tell each one, as this one or that one might occur to you, tell each one, my brother, peace and joy I offer you, that I may have God's peace and joy as mine. What if the whole world would just believe that as their practice for today? What if all of the brotherhood and all of the sonship out there today were to practice that simple thing? There would be no war. There would be no hatred. There would be no hostility. There would be no, you know, getting. There would be no giving to get. My brother, peace and joy I offer you, that I may have God's peace and joy as mine. So think of your enemies for a little while and then just tell each one of them, as they occur to you, tell them what we just shared. My brother, peace and joy I offer you, that I may have God's peace and joy as mine. And doing this, okay, and in doing this, thus you prepare yourself to recognize God's gifts to you and let your mind be free. We've opened our mind. We've removed part of our prison wall here. We've let our mind be free of all that the world would prevent. Be free of all that would prevent success today. Now, are you ready to accept the gift of peace and joy that God has given you? Now, are you ready to experience the joy and peace that you have denied yourself. By denying it to your brothers and sisters, you're denying it to yourself. Why? Because you keep what you give. Because all of the laws of God, they're always equal. Peace and joy are their rights, your brothers and sisters' right under the equal laws of God. Peace and joy are mine, for you have given what you would receive. And now you can say this. So you must succeed today if you prepare your mind as we suggested, for you have let all bars, the prison that we've made for ourselves, you have let all bars to peace and joy be lifted up. And what is yours can come to you at last. So tell yourself, God's peace and joy are mine. And close your eyes a while. And let his voice assure you that the words you speak are true. Spend 5 minutes thus, in this way, with him, the Holy Spirit, the voice for God. Spend 5 minutes with him each time you can today. But do not think that less is worthless when you can't give him more. In other words, even just 10 seconds or 15 seconds, my brother, peace and joy I offer you. Peace and joy are mine today because I am giving it to you. I get to keep it. At least remember hourly today to say the words which call to him, to give to God, to give you what he wills to give and wills you to receive. Let's remember from our reading today in the textbook that God's will and your will are one. So determine not to interfere today with what he, God, wills. And if a brother or sister or anyone out there that you meet today seems to tempt you to deny God's gift through some kind of a judgment, to deny God's gift to them, to that one, see it as but another chance to let yourself receive the gifts of God as yours. Then bless your brother thankfully and say to them, my brother, peace and joy I offer you, that I may have God's peace and joy as mine today. God's peace and joy are mine. And that's our lesson for today. So let's close out our broadcast today, my friends, with a prayer. If you'll join me for a brief moment of silence and prayer. Father, be in my mind when I wake, and shine on me throughout the day today. Be in my mind. Let me recognize that your will is my will. Let every minute be a time in which I dwell with you, Father. And let me not forget my hourly thanksgiving that you've remained with me and that you're always there. And that you're always there to hear my call to you and to answer me. That your will is mine, and that part of my mind, the voice, your voice, is nothing more than me, my right mind. And as the day continues and as the evening comes, Father, let all my thoughts be still of you. Let all of my thoughts just be of you, Father, and of your love. And even tonight, let me sleep sure of my safety, certain of your care, and happy, happily aware that I am your child. Let me remember your peace and joy, that they are mine. Amen. Let me again say thank you. I love you. Thank you for being my mighty companion. I don't always understand you. I don't always understand my reaction to you because I'm saying, you know, I know that you are my brother, my sister, my mighty companion. So I ask that you forgive me my reaction to my perceptions. And help me remember, turn within, be present, and ask our guide, our right mind, that one mind in which we all are joined and can never even have private thoughts, that we are joined together in that mind. Let me remember. That you and I are in love forever, and that is how we have been created and how we will never, ever be separate from each other and could never be separate from each other because we are one mind in love, joined for all eternity. And I say thank you again. I love you, and I'm so honored that you are my mighty companion. Have a blessed day today. Be the love, share the love, the world know the truth of what you are.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y @truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.